Welcome to the Healthcare Consultants Podcast, brought to you by the Chicago Health Law and Professional Licensing Firm of Michael V. Favia and Associates. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and today, Bob Smith from Corporate Risk Management Incorporated is our guest. Today, Mr. Smith is here to talk with us about the ways that corporate risk management protects startup and emerging healthcare practices with outsourced human resource solutions, as well as a full array of insurance products to guard against liability and protect the principals and investors in growing healthcare practices. Let's say good morning to Bob Smith.
Good morning. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Favia Law, for having me.
All right. Well, thank you for your time and being on our program. I look forward to talking about some of our points today. We'll cover startup and emerging healthcare practice, human resource outsourcing, what we mean by that. Then we'll talk a little bit about insurance options for growing practices and unique coverage needs. Of course, covering the exciting area of cyber liability and professional liability, things that people never want to think about, but we'll talk about some popular things there, as well as how much insurance coverage someone really does need to protect themselves, and then what corporate risk management does as a unique proposition as an insurance and HR provider. So, Bob, how did you get into this line of work, and what do you love about it?
Yeah, great question. Well, most people that I know that are in insurance kind of fall into it. And I fell into it about 25 years ago, a little more than that. Worked on the insurance company side for 13 years, primarily in the employee benefits space. And I saw, you know, over 20,000 requests for proposals over that time. And then in 2010, the Affordable Care Act was happening. And at that time, a lot of uncertainty in the healthcare world, and I moved over to the independent agent side, dedicated myself to learning the property casualty side of the business as well. So one of the things, I guess, to answer your question too, that I love about it is the fact that I can help companies with both business insurance and benefits. That's rather unique out in the marketplace.
I think that one of the things I key in on when you talk about your background is that things change and happen to us in our careers. And I look at 2022 in the fall and everyone going back to school and people getting back to their lives, trying to get back to, you know, something where they were before everything happened in the last few years. And we think about the new opportunities that are out there because a lot of people moved around. There are a lot of things, it's like a snow globe. You shake the whole world up and things fall in different places. And people might be jumping into some really interesting opportunities now that they haven't before. And one of the things that we talk about on this program, Healthcare Consultants Podcast, is the dental industry. We've talked to so many dentists and learned about the dental service organizations and the you know, the parts where you can buy into a practice or a dentist can be selling and moving on and doing different things. They're you know, as time goes on, the options that we don't think are ahead of us today, just hold on to your hat and wait for 5 minutes, because there could be something coming on down the line that opens up that we never even thought. I mean, when I was in law school, I never thought that years later I'd be not practicing law, but instead doing marketing and digital content for law firms. I mean, that didn't exist back then. We were trying to literally figure out if we were allowed to use email, and that was an issue as a law clerk in 1999. I was researching on that, of whether the attorneys could use email or whether they'd lose their law license to do that. So at the time, that was a really novel question. So when we talk about human resource outsourcing and a lot of the things that that are out there, you know, even if people went to school and have degrees in certain subject matter, that changes over time and the landscape moves so quickly. So now someone who's jumping into, let's say I did well myself work-wise, or I, you know, struck it, you know, won the lottery or Powerball and I want to buy into something, I have no idea what some of these things are. So it makes sense to do some outsourcing to people who know what's going on instead of learning it all on your own or doing all that. So tell us a little bit about, as a startup and an emerging healthcare practice, what kind of HR outsourcing needs are there and how can corporate risk management tie into those?
Yeah. Well, so like you kind of mentioned, the dental service organizations, accountable care organizations, things like that, certainly is a big trend in that space, right? when you look at even other industries, like the drive towards more and more franchising, specifically more to the healthcare practice, though, or DSO or maybe an accountable care organization, there's a lot of legal requirements around, HIPAA and personal health information, as well as like electronic medical records, things like that. So I think having some of that, call it like expertise or purchasing power around some of those technology solutions, is probably driving a lot of the smaller practices into those types of models. Relating more to the HR side, if I'm a startup healthcare practice, what I need to determine is kind of first and foremost, what's my philosophy around attracting and retaining employees? Like you said here, fall of 2022, over the last couple of years, we've seen more and more companies have people that want to work in a hybrid work environment or remote work environment. And it's probably become that much more of a challenge to get people into these practices, right? So understanding, kind of what your budget is, what your philosophy is, how do benefits play into that total compensation strategy, right? Like how much are you going to pay employees? How important is it to them to have health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, some of those types of employee benefits coverages? The way that we work HR, may or may not be a fit for some of those practices. But if you're starting out, there are so many different laws and requirements that you need to be aware of, and that's where kind of outsourcing or working with an HR business partner is really, I think, beneficial. I can go into more details, of course, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, and we will. But first, I have a question. So when we talk about hiring employees that are interested in having healthcare coverage and different benefits, and we see a lot of the things that I've heard is that employee retention and talent acquisition involves, there's a lot of employee benefit focus nowadays, more so than it seems ever, for just a whole myriad of reasons. So what's, if I'm a smaller, let's say I'm a dentist, I've got maybe another dentist who works, there's two of us, we're a small
yes.
shop, we're just getting started here. What size, like when I think about having employees with a lot of employee benefit needs, I think about larger organizations being able to get into that. And I just wonder with size and how many of us, whether corporate risk management is a group that can take us on there, because not everyone will.
Yeah, initially I would say a couple of paths or a couple strategies. One might be to look at our group purchasing program. Okay, so that where we have a volume in how we buy benefits, that is more of our HR payroll employee benefits 401k solution. That's one path that we would look at. Another might just simply be working with an insurance company. Since the Affordable Care Act in 2010, the guidelines have changed. A lot of people don't realize this, but you can have as little as one person enroll in a group benefits program and get that set up. Here in Illinois, one of the bigger players in the market offers six different health plans on a group basis for as little as one person enrolled. We have to have that second employee. The employee doesn't even have to be a full-time employee, but we have to have at least two W-2s, we'll call it, in order to offer that program. There's other guidelines and rules around it. Can't be a husband, spouse, stuff like that. But yeah, we can go down to little as one employee to get the plan going and kind of grow from there. Of course, we start, a few steps behind that. Again, going back to like more what their strategy is, how they want to grow it, what it looks like. But yeah, we're happy to help as small as really, literally two people.
That's the important answer there that keeps a lot of folks tuned in, because that's a lot of people. And, when we hear things in the news that apply to, talk about small businesses or businesses, we always hear, under so many people. And they're always like, man, that's a lot of people. That, how small the medium, that's a lot of people there. But, we're only one to two. We're barely you know, we're happy to be on the map
right
here. So it's that's, I think that's important because we are going to see more and more of that, as we're also going to see more of flexible work options, as you talked about, with people wanting to spend at least part of their time, you know, remotely. And then, you know, just as, you know, as people, I think the one thing I learned from a TED talk one time was that the companies that do the best, the organizations that have the staying power, are the ones who can be flexible, and flexibility is really important. So,
yeah.
I got to tell you, the
next question is usually, okay, well, how much is it going to cost? What's the minimum amount that I can have to contribute in order to get that plan going? And if we offer a plan to coincide with a federal open enrollment, so November 1st to December 15th for a January 1st start each year, we're still able to do what's we kind of call it a no contribution, no participation program. So technically the employer can offer as little as 0% contribution towards that group platform. So you can offer 6 plans, you get the good product and pricing and PPO networks in a group, and then can pay as little as 0. Doesn't mean that that's the right, you know, amount, right? But as you're starting up, and just to be able to offer a group health plan and try to attract those employees, it's really beneficial when you're trying to get that good new hire.
Right. I mean, people just don't realize that it's there. It's sort of like, I think about a technology that emerges and someone who, you know, used the technology at one point. I remember the online text-to-speech. It was kind of cumbersome and it wouldn't always get it right, and you spent just as much time. It's like using dictation. I remember when I had an assistant who would dictate the things I'd talk into the microphone, into the tapes and all that. I mean, this is a while ago now, but it took me more time correcting the dictation than if I was just, you know, give me the computer, let me do it myself. But so again, small business.
Yeah, I mean,
issues,
I
you know.
Gotta agree. Like, I mean, that's kind of why we're doing the podcast, right? Like, get the word out there that people don't know what's available, and see if we can do some good for some folks, right?
Right, exactly. Well, like, and what's available, such as like different insurance options. So what do people need? And there's a list of products on the Corporate Risk Management website, you know, from business owners' policies, commercial workers, commercial auto, cyber liability, professional liability. I mean, those are the two that I really think are really interesting. And surety bonds, which is like, I don't think anyone really like asked them on the street, what's a surety bond? No one really knows half the time. But
yeah, so
anyways,
I mean, if I'm
what
a healthcare, yeah, yeah. If I'm a you know, a startup or a small healthcare practice, I mean, first and foremost, they're going to already know that they need to get a malpractice policy, right?
Right.
A professional liability policy for, yeah. So oftentimes you're going to see that practice is already plugged into their association, right? If it's a medical association or dental association, and there's typically going to be some solutions that way for a risk purchasing type program. And those are generally where I see a lot of, you know, those earlier kind of doctors, dentists, et cetera, start up. And, you know, so we're always happy to help them review that, help them find other solutions, or, you know, oftentimes they're happy with that solution. And it's just a matter of kind of building a relationship and figuring out what we can do to help them. So that's kind of number one. I would probably list, and I'm of course shifting over right now to more the liability side of the business, right? Property casualty rather than the benefits. But you know, after that, I would say, you know, cyber, including e-crime, which can be more your, you know, phishing, right? People trying to trick you into sending money, things like employment practices liability. So that is your hiring and firing type claims, your employer-employee relationship, compliance, agent wage and hour, things of that nature. So that one's really important. Sexual harassment, you know, age discrimination, all those types of things are part of an employment practices liability policy. As you get other programs like a 401k, you would need a fiduciary liability policy. Along with that is a requirement of an ERISA bond. And then, you know, these are all part of the management liability suite. So employment practices, fiduciary, directors and officers, crime, those are types of things. And then just if you're renting a space, right, you're going to need general liability. So that's more your bodily injury or property damage, slip and fall type coverage. You've got equipment as well. So you'd want to insure your property. As soon as you have that first employee, you're going to need workers' comp insurance. And then oftentimes the lease might require an additional umbrella liability. And so on, right? Like there's a lot of different things that you can consider: buy sell agreements, disability, life insurance. So any of those types of things, you know, I help kind of talk through, prioritize. And if I can't be the solution, you know, I have people in my network I can connect to. But again, you know, typically I can help with all those things.
Well, that's good, because if I'm sitting here in the role of the investor into a dental practice or some sort of similar, I'm probably swimming in paranoia of all the different lawsuits that you list could possibly come across. And I can relate, having you're in Westmont. I had an office in Westmont too as well, and worked at a law office in Westmont where we had people calling with employee issues, and so many people wanting to sue their former employer. I mean, it was the calls were like, I have got the civil rights case of the century, $1 million case. Everyone had a $1 million case for, and one of them was, I forget. It was like, they were trying to say hostile work environment, but it was something similar where the phrase they were saying came off wrong, but it was funny. But there, you know, not to make light though of, you know, there are legitimate claims out there, but there are also a lot of times that things will get filed and there's a lot that we have to deal with as business owners. So, having protection against malicious claims or things, and you know, and when we, and it's not that, you know, claims only come from things that we do wrong. We can have our website get hacked. I think of cyber liability and website hacking all the time, because as someone, you know, I take care of the website for Favia Law Firm, and I get the emails. I'm the one who sees when the website's getting a, you know, hacking attempts from overseas and other, you know, because I get the back end emails as the webmaster, so I know what attacks are out there. And you know, I don't care whether you have all the information in your, you know, on your very on your server in your business that's, you know, highly confidential, or you're a pet grooming company with, you know, little other than just a website and an address, you know, they both get hacked, and they both, you know, so we look at cyber liability, and it's enough to scare the pants off of anybody. And then we think about how much insurance coverage do we really need, because when we think about those numbers, you know, we're used to making those decisions easily with auto policies because we're used to the numbers. But in business, man, you could get sued for all sorts of money, you know. I mean, where do we need to go with coverage? And is that affordable for a small practice? I mean, these are important questions. When you're going to – if I'm sitting there and I'm thinking whether to invest in this, I want to be able to answer these questions before I pull the trigger.
Sure. Well, and to your point earlier, I mean, you don't want the EEOC, the DOL, you know, knocking on your door, right? So, you know, oftentimes, first and foremost, you're trying to get risk management things in place, right? But then on top of that, the insurance policy is there to provide you resources, you know, whether it's cyber or employment practices. You know, there'll be panel counsel, there'll be other things that can help you, you know, like you just said, in the cyber world, if you've got a ransom request, do you have any idea where to start? Right.
And do you have the Bitcoin?
The insurance, yeah. Right.
And they want to get paid company, in Bitcoin. I'm still trying to figure out what a Bitcoin is.
But yeah, the insurance company, I mean, they deal with it daily. I mean, it didn't used to be daily. It used to be more like weekly. But and the ransom requests have gone up significantly. Probably 8-10 years ago, you'd see a request for, you know, $20,000. Hey, I've grabbed all your information. I won't let it go until, you know, you pay me $20,000 and I'll give you an encryption key and you can release, you know, open up the data again, right? Well, it's gone exponentially higher. I had a cyber claim last year, for a 50-person company. You know, they're actually more in the construction side of the world. But, you know, the first request for ransom was over $900,000, almost a $1 million request. Wow. The insurance company did negotiation. You know, you hope that they don't have to end up paying out any ransom, but depending on what controls were in place, what kind of backups were in place, you know, in this case, they ended up having to pay $300,000 in ransom, right? And then on top of that, now the next step is trying to get those keys back, trying to, you know, fix the servers that were damaged or clean everything out. And they had a couple of months, really, before they were fully back up and running. And so there's a business interruption there, right? And related to a cyber event. So that wouldn't be covered in your typical general liability policy, but the cyber policy, depending on the policy, can include interruption coverage. So those are just a couple of the key, you know, pieces. But when it comes to, you know, if I'm a healthcare practice, on top of that, I've got all this healthcare information. If somehow I'm hacked or, you know, releasing data, we've got all kinds of requirements by every single state law to notify those people of the breach. And the insurance company is going to have those resources. They're going to know, hey, California, this is a breach in California, whereas it might not be considered a breach in, you know, a different company or a different state, excuse me. So, but there's other, you know, compliance fines and expenses that can happen. What if someone turns around and sues you, right? That's a third-party liability coverage that's included. And then on top of that, there's e-crime, again, which we mentioned before. Somebody trying to, you know, we call it social engineering fraud, where they basically just try to trick you into sending money or, you know, getting the bank to send you money, wire, et cetera. So. It was a lot to cyber, for sure.
yuck. And it's like, I like, one of my favorite shows is American Greed. And, you know, you look at all these, and the commercials, well, you know, while I watch some of the, it makes you, you know, for, like the title theft one, the title fraud, it's like, with a simple piece of paper, I can steal the title to your home and grandma's home and everybody else down the block. You know, it's like... Man, it makes you afraid to leave the house in the morning. But you know, there's a lot
cyber
there.
Cyber criminals.
Yeah.
The cyber criminals, the bad actors have definitely upped their game to the point where they have really like customer service numbers. It's shocking, really, to hear about these things. But you know, I had a situation where. Somebody basically was like, they got hacked, they got through it, and then the bad actor calls them later to say, hey, you know, I'm trying to get the money from this other person I hacked. Can you talk to them? Can you help them understand how to get, you know, it's unbelievable how bold and,
you know. Right, so. Like they're not getting it. Like, can you explain them? They're having problems with the Bitcoin. Like, you're like, why would I help you? They're like, maybe you might want it. You're like, oh, all right.
Unbelievable, right? So,
like, what?
But yeah, I mean,
oh my gosh.
You know, there's a lot to the cyber world. And again, like the associations may provide, you know, some protection. There's three ways mainly to cover cyber. One is through the package policy. Another is kind of an extension onto a professional liability or malpractice policy. And then another is a standalone policy. 100% I recommend more the standalone. It's going to have more of those coverages like the business interruption and e-crime versus just kind of an add-on. So, you know, that's part of the service we're going to provide, right? Like we're going to, you know, help kind of review what they've got and don't have. So.
It's, and you know, I think that when we get all these things down and talk to all the different professionals we need to figure out, you know, there's a lot of issues, you know, also involving, you know, how many employees to have, what type of, you know, the structure getting to profit is complex and the path is long and twisted. And when we do it right and do our homework, we get there and it all runs seamlessly, so we hopefully believe. And corporate risk management sounds like has a bunch of options to get us there. So just in the last couple minutes here, Bob, if you could tell us what makes corporate risk management unique as an insurance and HR provider among, you know, different folks that I might be running into while doing my research.
Yeah, great. I appreciate the question. Honestly, like I do feel like I'm a little bit of a unicorn out in the marketplace. The fact that I can help with business insurance, I can help with employee benefits. We have our HR business partner company right there is really one of the things that drives me. And I always start the most conversations in two different ways. One, I have the belief that people really don't care how much I know until they know how much I care. And having that kind of mentality of client first and really trying to understand what they're trying to accomplish and we walk and run together along the way, I think is really, it doesn't seem like it should be a differentiator, quite frankly, but the way that our industry works in the insurance world is if you're less than, say, 50 employees, most benefits agents aren't really targeting you. If you're less than 50,000 in property casualty premium, most agents are not targeting you. So most healthcare practices are going to fall under those numbers, right? They're going to be less than 20 employees. So they're going to be less than 30 employees. They're going to have smaller premiums. And the fact that I can help them and really try to be an extension of their business, means a lot to them. And then, you know, again, the fact that we've got our HR business partner company, Employco USA, we as HR people can look around the corner, right? Like we can kind of see what's coming as it relates to the different laws and acts that are applicable to those healthcare practices. I mean, whether it's, you know, things with ERISA or the Affordable Care Act changes or FMLA or equal pay. I mean, there's so many different laws out there. You really have to have kind of a full-time person or more than a full-time person to stay on top of it. And that's what an HR business partner can do for these smaller employers. So to me, I can potentially cross up to like 8 different industries with a single one relationship by people working with me. So to me, that's my biggest differentiator in the market.
Wow. You know, it's something, having the right relationship with someone you know and can trust with a lot of these things is one of those things that you don't know how much you missed it until you didn't have it, or once you have it, you never, you know, one of those things that, you don't realize how much it's valued until you have it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, and yeah. I know one of the things we wanted to talk a little bit today about was more the malpractice and that, happy to go deeper on a different podcast or whatever, but, you know, some of the things that we're looking for, we want to know if you have a claims-made or occurrence-based policy. Do you have, right to choose counsel, consent to settle? You know, things like that in the contract. I know we didn't go too deep on the limits of liability either. We want to help guide you, maybe looking at what your revenues are and kind of as a starting point. Typically we're at least looking at $1 million in liability for most companies. And then, you know, oftentimes contract requirements, leases, things like that drive higher limits. But you know, happy to go deeper another time. I hope this was helpful to all the folks that are listening.
Absolutely. And I hope that more people do more research and get into investing in some good healthcare practices, because a lot of the smaller groups out there have some really good things to offer the general public. And I think that especially with a lot of the co-ops I'm hearing about, there are a lot of different options out there that really appeal to a lot of people. So we've got a very diverse pool of service providers as well as customers for them shopping for things in the healthcare arena. So there's a space for everyone. So I think that anyone who can, if you can imagine it, there's a need for it and you should do it. And Bob, if they want to start talking about this and get on board with corporate risk management and everything that they need to have figured out, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you, or what should they do to research and start getting the process moving?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Favia Law has my contact information, which is great if you want to reach out to them. But our website is www.crm, like corporate risk management, -inc.com. My email is actually on the website. Or just give us a call, ask for Bob Smith, and a tough name to remember, I know, but, you know, we're happy to help. Our main number is pretty easy, 630-920-0000.
All right, good enough. All right, Bob, well, I hope that everyone has a good weekend. No one has too bad ransomware attacks and things.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep it all on lockdown, you know, and it's like from my end, it's the calls of whenever a website goes down, it's a bad plugin, you know. So it's like at least we know who to call, and we work with GoDaddy or something like that. You know, so things that we can restore things now. It used to, it was a much bigger problem. So there, you know, as all these things that seem so scary at one point, there's always a team in the background working to make it a better and more seamless process. You know, so. There's always progress, and we're here to ride the wave of that and hopefully make some money in the meantime.
Well, hey, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, thank you to all of our listeners out there and people who do find this program on different social media channels. Please do hit the like and the share button, because you never know who's looking for exactly this kind of information. And if you have any input or feedback or want to get in touch with us, feel free to give a phone call to Michael V. Fabian Associates at 312-609-6666. At the Favia Law Firm, the host and sponsor of the Healthcare Consultants Podcast. Again, this was Nick Augustine with Bob Smith from Corporate Risk Management, and we thank you all for your time. Have a great Friday. Bye-bye now.
Take care.